Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Do not use the term debunk around James Randi. The man known as the Amazing Randi sees himself as an investigator who made a name for himself trying to disprove the grandiose paranormal claims of public figures, from magicians and so-called mentalists to televangelists. Randi himself is a retired stage magician. A documentary showing at the Milwaukee Film Festival follows Randi's efforts to investigate these claims. The film is called An Honest Liar, and James Randi himself joined Lake Effect's Dan Harmon by phone from Florida. Randi talked about when amusement crosses a line and becomes a con game.
Well, as a magician, a professional magician for most of my life, I started when I was about 12 and I'm now 86. I'll let you do the arithmetic on that. I have always had a very strict standard that I would never try to imply, and certainly not tell anyone, that anything that I did in the way of my magic act was real in any way. And I'm referring more specifically to the mentalism idea. You see, in conjuring, that is the magic trade, we have a section of our trade called mentalism, and that is the kind of thing, like predicting the future, reading people's minds, answering esoteric questions for them. That's the kind of thing that the so-called psychics out there do, and many of the very prominent preachers of the day do that as well, of course, and they get to be multimillionaires because of it. I've never been able to take myself down to that level, and I've always been very straightforward with what I do. I've had many arguments backstage with audience members when they will say things to me like, "Oh, when you did so-and-so, that was very good. I like that trick. But when you told the lady her phone number there, that was real, right?"
Uh-huh.
And I'll say, no, it wasn't. "Oh, no, I know what's real and what's not real, Mr. Randi." And, of course, they don't. You see, that's a rough spot that I've got in my career to overcome, if I can.
Well, at what point in your career, it seems pretty early on, that you decided to pursue those people who aren't quite as, or who aren't quite as fair-minded about it as you are?
More those that are not as ethical.
Yeah.
As I am, and as ethical as I think most magicians are. Now, I have some differences with the profession as well. And, I rank pretty well up there in the profession. I have all kinds of awards from things like the Magic Circle in London and from all over the world and all over this country, of course. But the point is that many of the magicians out there don't agree with me. They sort of sit on their hands when I suggest these ideas to them, that they should be more open and frank, honest with their spectators, who might tend to believe that some of these things are real. Now, there is an advantage in having your audience think that you're real in that respect, because you can charge an awful lot more money, because people are thinking they're getting some benefit from it, in which there is no benefit.
Let me just get your opinion then, to switch a little bit here, about the culture of our desire to be fooled. I mean, maybe that's overstating it, but I think people certainly get a kick out of something that appears to be real, but we ingrain in an ingrained way we know isn't.
I have noted from very early age that people, in most cases, enjoy being deceived when they know they're being deceived and they're amused by it. It shouldn't go beyond that point, in my estimation, but they can be very much amused by it, and I've even seen animals, dogs particularly, and I find that I can confuse a dog, most intelligent dogs and observant dogs, by palming off a rubber ball or whatever and throwing it down on the floor, and nothing goes down on the floor. And the dog, in many cases, is rather alarmed at that. You'll hear them give a little whine and start looking around wildly as to what happened to that ball, when I've actually just palmed it off. And when the dog sees the ball again, however, when you show that it's in the other hand or whatever, the dog doesn't look puzzled, and it certainly doesn't look puzzled anymore, but the dog doesn't react in such a way as saying, "Oh, there it is." The dog just doesn't care. The dog just goes right back as if he or she had not been deceived, and all is well again instantly, which is different from what happens with most people, of course.
All right. I just want to broaden things out to maybe a huge cultural way of thinking, but something that leaps to mind is celebrity. Or there's all kinds of illusions that we are very willing to believe, and celebrity certainly is one of them. Status, money, anything you could think of, really, that we choose to believe something about celebrities, and in some cases we don't really want to know what, or in my case, I don't really want to know what they're like because they might ruin my perception of them, and I may not like them as much.
Well, I don't have such a limitation on the knowledge I want to gather. I rather assume that celebrities are not what they represent themselves to be, because I have in my day met quite a few of them, I must say. On the other hand, some celebrities, like Dick Feynman, for example, do you know the name?
Yes.
Well, Dick Feynman was quite a surprise to me. He always surprised me because he had such wonderful observing powers and comments that he would make. I saw how deeply he understood a lot of things that I did and how confounded and rather troubled he was by things that he didn't understand that I performed for him. But he was always willing to be shown, and upon being given the solution, and in most cases with Dick, I did that, of course, because I knew I could trust him not to spread it around or publish it in the New York Times. But I was always pleased at the reaction. I always enjoyed his response to it, and we had a good friendship going for many, many years, and I do miss Dick a great deal.
I just have to say, when watching this documentary, I sort of found myself feeling frustrated for you and frustrated for the interest of truth, I suppose, that you were running into really formidable either opponents or ways of thinking when you were trying to debunk people who you thought are going too far in deceiving people.
Oh, yes.
No one wants to be told that they're being deceived, but you think that you'd be doing them a favor by doing so.
That's very true. They don't like to know that. And you'll even see them stand there with a big grin on their face and shake their head from side to side, indicating no. And I get this with a lot of people who have fallen for the preachers out there who have drained them of money for years and years. Some of them have spent fortunes with these preachers because they're promised all kinds of cures, all kinds of advantages from money to rank by the preachers. That's their business. They're con men, and I will stand in front of somebody who's just been shown definitively that this preacher is a liar and a crook, and they just sit there and shake their heads from side to side and say, yes, but I still believe. Mm-hmm. And that is very hard for me to accept, how anyone can believe something that has been shown definitively to them that it's not so. I can't understand.
Well, let me just ask about the limits of your skepticism. I mean, do you, for example, think that there is no such thing as the occult, or do you think it is actually just all a creation of the believers and those that pretend to have some knowledge of it?
Well, I have wide experience in the field and long experience as well. I've never seen anything that was supernatural that I would deem to be supernatural, because I have explanations for these things. I've seen some wonderful stuff that some magicians have done for me, particularly some of the younger Asian magicians. And they're a coming class of folks, I can tell you that. They are developing all sorts of things that we just never dreamt of before in the magic profession. And I see these things, and I'm quite stimulated by them. They aren't supernatural. They can have the appearance of that. You know, that's another thing, too. When I go to see a magician work, I very, very seldom try to solve the tricks. Most of them I will know already, but I don't try to solve the tricks. I rather enjoy the sensation of being completely hornswoggled. If a magician shows me something and I have to say, wow, never saw that before, I'm actually pleasantly surprised, and I enjoy this and the sensation.
Does that still happen to you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I freely admit that. There's no shame in that whatsoever.
Yeah. Also, you know, not only just feeling, as I said, frustrated for you watching the documentary, but frustrated in that nothing really has changed. Maybe the venues have changed, the faces have changed, when it comes to people willingly being fooled.
Oh, yes. No, there's not much change. Now, just like I say to the magicians themselves, not much has changed in our profession, and we really haven't kept up to the latest scientific developments and such. And in rare cases, we have adopted technology of certain kinds, particularly in mentalism. But I get exactly the same impression from the magic profession. I think it applies to all professions. I don't know. I have to keep up with these things. I feel a burning need for it because a lot of people depend on me for giving them opinions on things that they've witnessed, and I try to give them the correct answers, of course.
Something that also this may have changed. We all like to think that we're scientific or that science will figure things out or science will be open to having its beliefs debunked if they are proven to be false. And of course, that was not the case in one instance in a very highly publicized instance in the documentary. It was the late 70s when you had some helpers go in and try to fool some parapsychologists or maybe they were parascientists. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure the terminology, but do you think that that kind of establishment is a little more open to proving themselves these days?
Well, you have to really be devoted to a thing like parapsychology, because if you have a scientific bent, you have to make exceptions that are not allowed by science at all. But I have spoken to many scientists, and I won't name them, of course, who have certain beliefs that are certainly paranormal, no question of it. The face of any one of these so-called phenomena is so obvious to any thinking person. Now, I don't just mean scientists now. I mean any thinking person, that I can't understand how they would accept it. And I find that very sad.
Again, I got the impression from watching the documentary that people who know how can talk their way out of anything or talk their way around anything or talk their way into anything. It seems to be, for example, one of the, I guess I would call him the current equivalent would be a televangelist who you, through a helper, proved that he was using an earpiece to get information from people or about people that they had on prayer cards. But it was, I guess, saying that he was somehow getting this information from the divine, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
And but he went on television selling things. I mean, his career wasn't necessarily destroyed by this revelation that he's lying.
That's the interesting thing. You just can't tell some people some things because they don't want to know. They want to resist knowing that altogether. And they're the ones who will smile at you and shake their head from side to side and say, but I still believe. And they're proud of the fact that they're able to ignore the very positive evidence that I've given them and still believe in the nonsense. They're proud of it.
As someone who's had a decades-long career as a magician and an investigator, do you feel like you have actually made some progress in, I guess, your cause, if you will?
Oh, I know I have, and it's proven to me all the time. Now, for example, in the showings that we've attended of the Honest Liar film, it's really quite an experience to meet people, some of them with tears in their eyes, who come to me and look me straight in the eye and say, Mr. Andy, you made a big difference in my life. You made a change in me. Well, you can't buy that. That has to be heartfelt. It has to be genuine. And you know that it is. And I'm very proud to have that said to me because I know that the work I'm doing is certainly not in vain. It's paying off.
Do you see any overall harm in people believing certain things like astrology or using tarot cards or hiring mediums to communicate with, deceased loved ones? I mean, do you think these things are true? And then do you think there's any harm in those that do believe it?
Oh, no, there's a great deal of harm in it. Now, just think for a moment. If you were convinced that the position of the planets among the stars would tell your fortune, would tell your future, and would dictate what's going to happen to you in the world, in the real world, first of all, I think you would feel very helpless. If that's what dictates what's going to happen to you and what your fortune is going to be and what your future is going to be, it would be a very frightening thing to have that knowledge and be convinced of it. And I think that people make their investments, they make their decisions, they make their choices in life based on a lot of these superstitions, as I put it. And that is very, very harmful. To change anyone's philosophy definitively in that way and have them believe in what you believe, not only believe, but you know to be total nonsense, that's criminal to me, to try to get people thinking that way. And that's what these so-called faith healers and miracle workers are doing. They're trying to convince people that there is another world out there that they don't understand up until now, but these people are the ones who have the solution for you, and they can tell you how to handle it. But you've got to hand over the money.
After your whole experience working on the documentary or being the subject of the documentary, a pretty unprecedented access to your life and history, what are your thoughts now? Anything changed as a result of going through the process of putting this all out there for public consumption?
No changes at all. Now, you saw me do a reversal right in the middle of the situation. They're saying that none of this must be used. And I regretted that the moment that I said it. And I will tell you that not more than 6 hours later, I got in touch with those people. And I said, I want a film crew back here. And I want it now. And they sent it back. And I sat down in front of the cameras and I just simply told them, no, I made the agreement with you that it would be warts and all. And let's do it that way. That was my agreement with you. I'm going to follow it through. I will not forbid anything to be used, whether I can do it, literally can do it, or not. I won't do it. And I was a person of my word. I try to be every opportunity I get. And I thought about it very carefully and said, no, it's the warts and all thing, the Oliver Cromwell, as he told his portraitist, and I'm sure you know, warts and all, that's the way I want it. That's the way it should be.
All right. Well, the amazing Randy, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with the documentary.
Thank you for calling. And by the way, luck has nothing to do with it. It's all talent.
James Randi is a professional magician and an investigator of dubious paranormal claims. He is the subject of a documentary called An Honest Liar. Randi and filmmaker Tyler Meesom will appear Saturday at the Milwaukee Film Festival. There is a link to more information from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. That's all for the Thursday edition of the program. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock. Fresh Air is next. ¶¶